smooth adjustment, but easy on the curves.
Not a glitch, Daffy Duck. Just got dyslexia, okay?
This out on you! This out on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Obscure Disney Podcast.
Brought to you by Jumbo Junior Airlines. You'll be dancing about everything when you see our elephants fly.
To all who have come to this podcast, welcome. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast. I'm Steven.
And I'm Ryan.
And we have new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, so why not get an annual pass to this podcast by subscribing on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast from. Simply search for the Obscure Disney Podcast or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
Steve, you're a beast!
A beast! Rude!
Well, you know, it wouldn't be an insult if you were invited to be part of an exclusive Walt Disney World land.
Oh, yeah?
As a beast!
Beastly kingdom? Is that what we're talking about?
Beastly kingdom!
If they want to make an entire kingdom for beasts and invite me to be the, like, star of the kingdom, then yes.
You'd be
yes,
all about that?
Absolutely.
Beast Steve?
No, that doesn't seem to work right.
No. To be clear, we're not talking about Beauty and the Beast.
There's a different Beast?
Different Beast.
Okay. How many more Beasts are there?
So many. I'm going to tell you all about them.
Okay.
But really, what it is, we're going back to Animal Kingdom for a moment.
Yeah.
And when they built Animal Kingdom, anytime they build any park, honestly, they kind of do it in quote-unquote phases. So that when it opens, people can go, there's not really a lot to do here. And they go, oh, this is just phase one. Just you wait till phase two starts. It'll be incredible. Come
this
back.
Is their this is their intention?
I think it's silly. Just out of necessity. Sometimes they run out of time and money. And so they go, well, this is just phase one. Just wait. It's going to get even better.
Well, and it is a good way to get the best use of your capital money as well, because if you put out something and they come, and then you can always keep adding to it. And every time you add to it, it brings people back again. And
right.
So every single time. So if you give them everything the very first time out, then there's no reason for them to come back.
So well, and plus then you have capital coming in with people visiting the park. So, Beastly Kingdom was meant to open with the park, though.
Okay. With Animal Kingdom.
With Animal Kingdom.
That seems crazy, because Animal Kingdom was already such a gigantic undertaking.
Well, and I think that's the problem, is that they maybe bit off a bit more than they could chew to begin with. For some reason, they thought building an amusement park / zoo would be easy.
No,
oddly enough,
they didn't really think
that. Well, you know, it's Disney. They think they can do everything quickly and better. And so they planned on having Beastly Kingdom be part of the opening day attractions. And as is with many things, Disneyland Paris totally screwed us over.
Mm.
And they were quickly running out of money. And they had to choose between building this elaborate Beastly Kingdom or doing the basically bare bones dinosaur fair area.
Yeah.
And they decided to go with the dinosaur fair area, mostly, I think, because it's cheaper.
That was why they did it.
But also because they had the movie Dinosaur coming out, and they thought it'd be a good tie-in for their dinosaur movie.
Okay.
Says Michael Eisner, of course.
Of course.
But Beastly Kingdom, people have been wanting it ever since they even hinted towards it, and it's now officially canceled. They're never going to do it. So we can talk a little bit about it.
Oh, good.
So originally, Animal Kingdom was meant to celebrate the animals of the past, present, future. So they were going to have the dinosaurs, the modern day animals, and then the mythological type stuff.
Okay.
So I guess that's not really future. That's past, present, and fantasy.
I honestly forgot the dinosaurs were real.
Oh boy. This is gonna be a crazy ride for you then.
Keep going.
So the idea was that this fantasy area was going to break off from that main island where the tree is.
Yeah.
And when you stepped that direction, you'd be confronted with two different directions to go. I'll let you pick which direction we head in. Okay. One direction looks very medieval. There's a dark forest and kind of like a Renaissance type direction.
People would like that.
And the other direction has more of a Greek inspired look, and it has a bit more lighter colors, gardens, that kind of thing. Which direction would you want to head in first?
I don't know. I don't know. I think that you would enjoy the medieval steampunk kind of a vibe. So we'll go that way.
Okay, we'll head that way then. So the Beast of the Kingdom, like I said, is separated into these two sub areas. So if you head kind of the darker direction, you go through like a heavily forested area. You come across like a small village that probably has some shops and things like that in it. And then the main attraction is a crumbling facade of a giant dark castle that's near the back of the land.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Which serves as Beastly Kingdom's e-ticket attraction.
Oh, okay.
So the concept art for this is pretty interesting. It was going to be a hanging coaster, so you'd be below the tracks.
Okay, yeah.
Kind of like Peter Pan-esque.
Oh, that'd be fun.
But you'd be moving a lot faster.
Yeah, they have a ton of rides like that now. I think there's a Batman ride or something, right, that people like that does that?
Yeah, I hear at Six Flags even.
Oh, that's what Batman we saw. Ride.
So if they said it would be more or less, it's a more story-driven kind of coaster where you'd move fast through some parts and then slower through other parts so you could take in kind of the,
oh, that'd be
the
fun.
View or whatever. So you get into these vehicles and you're swooping around through this crumbling castle, seeing skeletons and scorch marks and whatnot.
Oh, wow.
And the grand finale is when you go into the basement of the castle and there's a giant fire-breathing dragon that you're swinging past and he's snapping at you and whatnot. You know, huge undertaking, wild kind of coaster ride.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Which I think sounds awesome.
Is it outdoors or indoors?
It's been indoors.
Indoors inside the castle.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think maybe it's just because I like the Disney villains and the darker aesthetic of a lot of them, but I feel like a lot of the parks are missing this type of concept.
Yeah.
Even when you go to like the Haunted Mansion here in Florida, it's just the fact that it's Florida and it's so sunny outside that it's hard to feel any kind of creepy ambiance. If you go at night, it's a little easier to be scared of a Haunted Mansion.
That's true.
But during the day, it is so sunny and so hot most of the time that it's like, this isn't even close to scary, you know, or even foreboding. They do have the Tower of Terror, which kind of has that kind of creepier vibe. But I feel like this concept would be a bit more immersive and maybe be a little bit more on the edgy side.
Yeah, completely.
So
I love it.
You love that?
So is that all we're doing in the dark side of the kingdom is on that side is going in this hanging indoor?
That all we're this e-ticket attraction, is that all? Yeah, that's basically what they had planned, kind of like a forested area. Like I said, they'd probably have like a small medieval village with like shops and that kind of stuff, you know, selling like toy swords and, you know, princess hats or whatever, you know. And then you have the e-ticket with the dragon and things like that.
What would happen if we went down the other side of the walkway and went over to the Greek village thing?
Oh, now you want to go head towards the light?
Yeah.
This side, they said was going to be themed a bit more towards the Fantasia section with the mythological. Do you remember this at all? With the satyrs, the half people, half horses, the Greek gods come down and they have like a party. Is this sounding familiar to you at all?
A little bit, yeah.
They wanted to kind of theme it a bit more that direction.
Okay.
This is where the land's dark ride would have been, actually. And they were going to do a Fantasia dark ride where you had like the dancing hippos with the crocodiles.
That would be interesting.
Right? That's what I thought too. I was like, that would be an interesting concept for a dark ride.
Yeah.
Because it's, once again, very nonlinear.
Uh-huh.
So it kind of gives you a chance to just be super visual.
Yeah.
Kind of like how they did in Avatar, I guess. It, you know, the boat ride there is very visual and right. less story driven.
It'd be really fun if they decided to build that ride now, and if they had it trackless so that it would be in a different order every time you rode on it, since it is a non-linear story that makes no sense anyway.
Sure, just so, enjoy the music and the visuals type thing.
Right, and it just goes different directions every single time and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah, it could be interesting.
And maybe you don't see the whole ride every time. Maybe it's like so large and vast that you don't, that you, you know, have to go on multiple times to see it.
Oh, you think that? I don't know that they'd get that complex about it. It's just why a not? Dark ride.
It'd be fantastic.
You can't make two e-ticket rides over there.
No.
The wait times would be horrendous. More horrendous than much they like already Avatar. Would be. Yeah,
like but that's Avatar. A good point, though, that you bring up, that I always forget how few rides are actually in each land.
Yeah.
You know, each, and then you find out there's like two or three, and you're just like, oh, wow, that was a very expensive, long ways to get to two or three rides.
But, yeah. Well, I mean, you look at Fantasyland, they have rides crammed in there.
Right.
Like, so many rides in Fantasyland, but that also makes it the most congested and unpleasant area.
And the rides aren't anything too crazy.
No, they're all basically focused on families.
Right.
And slower moving and dark rides for kids, you know?
So all of the characters inside this Beasley Kingdom, they're mythical, they're not real, they're not based off of villains they currently have in any way.
No, there's no villain, there's no Disney IPs in there at all. Well, I mean, I guess the Fantasia characters would be considered Disney IPs.
Oh yeah, that's true. That is true. That would be.
But that's not the only thing in the light side, though.
Oh, okay.
There's another thing.
What else do they have there?
So back towards the back of the lighter side, they would have a hedge maze.
Oh, wow.
Which they have in Paris.
I was just going to say that.
Be really interested to see how this works out. But they have a hedge maze that you're supposed to go through and find three different statuary that gives you clues on how to get to the final conclusion of this hedge maze. I'm not sure how those clues are supposed to work or how they're supposed to know if you get to them or not. Or maybe if there's just one path with some branch offs, so you have to walk past them. But even now it would be fun if you had to like tap them with your magic band or something like that.
Yeah.
So that you could get into the castle at the end or something. The end of the hedge maze, there would be like a watery kind of grotto kind of place with a unicorn in it.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Where they would
everybody would love this.
Right?
Disney.
They would let in like small groups of people and you could experience, I guess, maybe some short version of like a show or an interaction, do a photo op type thing, you know?
Wow.
Which I thought would be really cool. It's very unusual for what we have here in the American parks. But again, I always wonder how that works with large crowds of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't do a maze with hundreds of people.
No, it seems like a very nice, quaint little thing to do. But if even more than 25 people get in there, it's going to start being an issue. And then if there is ever an emergency, how do you get people out of there?
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about that, too. They'd have to have emergency exits. But, I mean, it works in Paris.
Uh-huh.
So, I guess
just because they're sophisticated.
They're much nicer than we are.
Not true.
It just seems like you'd have to, like,
kind of... We're nice, dang it.
But... I'm pleasant. They'd have to figure out a way to maybe stop people at the entrance and try to like move people through.
Yeah.
Maybe make it less of a maze and more of a walkthrough attraction, maybe.
Hmm.
Because I can't imagine hundreds of people getting lost in a hedge maze. You know, it'd just be terrible.
Or you could put the hedge maze on the way to the castle and you had to like find your way through the maze and before you can get there. No. This is a bad idea.
No, I'm which castle?
The Dark Castle where you go to do the hangy ride.
Oh, well, it's on a completely different side.
Well, you know, they could reinvent. But no, that'd be a horrible idea because people get so territorial over their line that like they'd be like, get out of my way. I know how to get there. You're doing it wrong. You know,
ugh, that would be a mess. Awful. And that's why I think the hedge a maze concept doesn't really work.
Mm-hmm.
Because the idea of a maze is that you can get lost in it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no way with that many people that you could even justify trying to get lost in a maze.
That's true.
So that's why I think maybe a walkthrough,
but
where you were touching your magic band on things and making things happen and whatnot might be fun.
Yeah, that would be fun. So they are not doing that ever again. They're not doing it though because of Pandora.
Yeah, they've completely scrapped that idea and went with the Pandora direction instead.
Got it.
But what I found kind of interesting about this is Beastly Kingdom, not just we as consumers were excited about this idea, but the Imagineers that were working on it were really excited about this concept, mm-hmm. this mythological concept. And so when Beastly Kingdom was officially canceled, a lot of those Imagineers left and decided to head down the street to a different company.
Oh.
They went to Universal.
Oh, no. He who should not be spoken.
Dangerous. And they kind of put a lot of those ideas back into a new area in...
Harry Potter?
In Harry Potter.
I knew you were going to say Harry Potter.
So, you know, originally it wasn't Harry Potter. It was just a mythological area. They had like a dragon coaster and things back there. But it eventually evolved into the Harry Potter area of Universal.
We totally had to do an episode on that, like how that happened, because it's a fantastic story. It's so much fun.
But you know what I heard the nail in the coffin for Disney and Harry Potter was?
Oh. Spoiler already.
We all know J.K. Rowling is very protective of her stuff.
Uh-huh.
And she told Disney that what she wanted was to have a train that moved people from their park to a completely different area to go to the Harry Potter stuff. And then would bring them back. There would be no foot traffic way to get to and from Harry Potter.
Okay.
And Disney said, that's outrageous.
Really?
We have... the crowd levels would be ridiculous. There's no way.
Really?
Apparently.
Keep going.
And so the story goes that she pretty much immediately left Disney and went straight over to Universal.
Yeah.
And Universal heard that Disney had passed on it and they snapped her up like nothing, you know.
We have to have a whole episode so we can talk more about that because I have so much to say.
Sure.
But, so you don't think that Beastly Kingdom could ever become the fifth park at Disney World then, right?
No. I mean, I don't know that the concept is strong enough, unfortunately. I think, as we've spoken about before, if they did a Dark Kingdom,
okay,
they could potentially do that e-ticket dragon ride with Maleficent in her castle as the main centerpiece.
How great would this be?
It would be amazing.
Yeah.
And everyone loves Maleficent's dragon form.
Yeah.
So who wouldn't want to ride a ride where you fly past Maleficent as she cackles and breathes green fire at you, you know?
How fantastic. And even if they had a park more where Gaston and Cruella de Vil could live and
Ursula
and all of the villains.
Right.
Like you could totally have a whole park of just villain based stuff. It would be fantastic.
Sure. I mean, the light area wouldn't work there then, though. Like the whole unicorn grotto type thing.
Mm.
You couldn't really transfer that to a villain park, I don't think.
They'd have to figure out some way to do it, though, to kind of attract the little princesses that needed a place to go. But it would be fun. But
I mean, we can talk about a Dark Kingdom, too. But yeah, they'd have to find a way to make it family friendly. But I mean, do you remember a few times ago we were going to Disneyland and we walked up and there was a mom with two little girls and the girl in the stroller was dressed as Snow White in her pretty princess dress and her older sister was dressed as the Evil Queen. And she's like, she just loves the Evil Queen. I don't know. And I happened to be wearing my Evil Queen t-shirt that day. And I was like, me too. I'm a big fan. I think there are kids that really enjoy the over-top dramatic nonsense that the Disney villains give, you know?
I relate to the Evil Queen much more.
Well, you relate to all the villains much more. According to the Beast Library quizzes.
Oh, it's so true.
But I'm personally really sad that Animal Kingdom is missing out on that section of things.
Yeah.
As much as, like I said, we enjoyed Avatar.
Mm-hmm.
Thought it was a fun area. It's very heavily themed and fun. The rides are really fun.
Well, and I had no idea that the sidewalks has glow-in-the-dark paint into the cracks of the...
Right.
That's fantastic.
One of these days, we're really going to have to try to be at that park later so that we can see all that.
Yeah, we'll have to go there on day one and stay till the end.
There you go.
That'll be the deal.
But I think what I'm really upset about is that you miss out of a chance to have some more original... non-movie based rides,
right,
where they get to make up a new story, they get to have new characters, they get to write new music, they get to do, you know, new things that are bound to surprise you because they're not based on anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so even with Avatar, if you've seen the movies, you kind of know what things look like and how things are going to go. If they just said, hey, there's a dragon-infested castle over there that you want to ride a coaster through, you're like, I have no idea what I'm going to run into in this place, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what this dragon's going to look like? Or who knows how we're going to interact with this unicorn at the end of this hedge maze, you know? I feel like it would be a fun adventure to try new things.
Yeah. Disco Yeti is an original concept.
He is. Well, I mean... Technically, the Yeti is not new, but yes, the concept that they put together was new.
And he wasn't supposed to be Disco Yeti anyway.
He was not supposed to be a Disco Yeti, but he's dancing all night long now, you know, and all day. But it's like I always say, you got to thank Paris for the fact that we don't have a kingdom for the Beast! Until next time, follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger Disney point to the exit, and we'll see you then on the Obscure Disney Podcast.